Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching iTunes for Radio Le Mans or visiting radiolemans.com. The Tora Radio Show, your home for sim racing news.
Yes, do not adjust your audio receiving devices. I am indeed not Matt Hunter, our intrepid president here at Tora. Matt is still recovering from Le Mans, since he was one of the lucky few that actually got to go to the race. As any American would tell you, it's kind of difficult to get there.
I am so jealous!
I am, of course, Tora's pastor, as Matt refers to me, Ben Williams, and you heard him already speaking the infallible Lewis Satterley. How are you doing, Willie?
I'm doing great. I've got me an espresso martini, so I'm feeling quite elegant here, simply because it's a martini, and I've got nothing else to add to that, so I'm just going to take a nice long sip and imagine that you can see it.
As Mr. Bond the rest of the evening, since you have a martini, or... shaken or stirred, sir?
I like it shaken, not stirred, and I'm guessing that's how he says it, is stirred. Yeah. You notice how we go with the Sean Connery here?
Yes, of course. The proper Bond. Anyway,
yes,
we're getting off topic. We're not even a minute into this show. We're off topic.
We haven't even introduced our special guest yet,
either. We haven't introduced our special guest. This is indeed another American special here on the Tora Radio Show, because with us, we've talked about him on the show before. We referred to him as Fresh Cuban Bread. We talked to him mostly about him last year because he won both the Tora IndyCar Championship and the Tora TASCAR Championship. But we're finally going to add a voice and a name to that gamer tag. We have with us today as our special guest, Christian Gomez. Christian, how are you doing?
Good. You can tell we brought the fourth line today because I'm here.
Perfect.
Perfect.
So here's the... Yeah, it is. I was going to ask, actually, because he's a couple hours south of me. How's the weather down in Miami?
For the first time ever, the first time ever in a really long time, it's not raining. So,
same here currently. Actually, we just got done with our lovely rainstorm after having the first half of the day nice and sunny, actually. So, it was wonderful to see the sun for a while. It's like not seeing an old friend for a long time.
Yeah, I finally, Pennsylvania boy here will keep quiet while you're having this discussion.
It's anyway, a Florida takeover.
This is the Tora Radio Show, and we do occasionally talk about sim racing news. Start off the show, we really need to talk about pretty much the biggest thing that's going on here at Tora right now. If you were paying attention to the Twitterverse last week, McLaren has announced that as part of their World's Fastest Gamer competition, they've selected us, yes us, and CJ Wilson Racing to head up a Forza branch of this competition with the McLaren 57S Cup. Coming to you soon. Now, this is going to be a little bit different from how we typically do our series here at Tora. First of all, you're not going to require to have a Tora racing number. It's not going to require you to sign up for the Tora website. It is going to be something completely separate, as we anticipate there's going to be many, many signups as we continue on throughout this series. Signups actually opened already last week, and they've been flooding in. Do remember that you have until July 5th, I believe it is, to sign up for the series. So make sure, if you're thinking about it, you want to sign up. Toot sweet. A little French in there, since it is the week after Le Mans. Anyway.
Stop. I'm already in the middle of a Le Mans hangover. I don't need more.
Anyway.
Gosh. I already got to wait a whole year till it comes back.
Now, another way this is different is that while we usually have everyone who qualifies races, we're only going to be focusing on the top 32 this time around, just because, as I say, we're anticipating just an overwhelming amount of drivers who are going to be wanting to come in and race in this championship. So we're only going to take the top 32 drivers for the racing so they have to race in the points. So if you want to do well in this series and possibly win the top prize of being a finalist in the world's fastest gamer competition, you need to do well. Louis, what are your thoughts on McLaren giving Tora this amazing opportunity?
Well, obviously, I mean, it speaks for itself because it's McLaren, they're going to recognize somebody. CJ Wilson, they're going to recognize somebody out of this. But already, and we just want to clarify on this one, actually, if you're not in the top 32 on this, Ben, Mr. Williams, mm-hmm. are you still going to be able to race? Because if I'm just a casual listener here, I might not know the full details of that answer there.
Unfortunately not. You're not going to be able to race just because of administrative things. Because this is taking part on a Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, it just becomes about availability. Now, we understand that's not the best time for those across the pond. We understand that. 7 p.m. Eastern is about midnight in the UK, so that was kind of our compromise just because of the staff members' availability and CJ Wilson Racing's themselves availability, so that for those who cannot make this series because they live on the other side of the pond, don't worry. I'm told that there will be other similar series coming down the line, so be sure to look out for that. And this is just the Forza Wing. You can also get into this series by perhaps taking part in the R Factor series that they announced a couple weeks ago. I don't remember when exactly it was. So getting back to our series, this is going to take place over 5 rounds, starting at Daytona before going to Sebring, visiting Road America after that, then Sonoma, and then rounding off at Road Atlanta. Now, this is going to be a slightly different racing format than what we typically use. Each round is going to feature 2 sprint-ish length races. Each race will be around 15 minutes, mainly because the McLaren uses a lot of fuel, oddly, in Forza 6, so we have to kind of adjust for that. Race 1 will be determined by your overall qualifying position, and then race 2 grid will be determined by your results in race 1. So be on the lookout for more information about that as we get closer to the series. Christian, do you have any thoughts on this?
Sadly, I am taking a little bit of a hiatus right now from the racing side of things, but this sounds really good. We've already had we've worked before with CJ Wilson Racing, and it's good that a big automotive brand like McLaren recognizes an organization like Tora, and we can actually, host this series to the Forza community.
Yes, it is always great to work with CJ Wilson Racing. We started working with them last year. It was a great partnership, and I'm really excited to continue on with it in this year. And on a side note, you would not believe how many people I've had ask me about when's Cayman Cup coming back. When's Cayman Cup coming back? Well,
you're not the only one, my friend.
Yeah, this is basically the question of the year for all tour staff members. So this is the new iteration of that. So tell us what you're thinking. You share the tweet at the @Rio_Tora using the #TRS and tell us, what do you think about the McLaren Cup? Is this something you're going to be trying to take part in? Are you excited that Tora is getting recognized by a major automotive brand? Let us know. So, moving on to sim racing news. Again, if you've been paying attention to Twitterverse, the Forza Racing Championship has really ramped up this year already to the level that, none of us were really expecting. We talked about this formally on the show, how Porsche has signed a 7-year agreement. How long was it? I don't remember right now.
It's 6.
It's 6? Okay. Thank you, my fact checker. 6-year partnership with Forza Motorsports, which has blossomed into several different things. First of all, being this Forza Racing Championship and this huge E3 reveal, which we will talk about later. Don't worry, we're going to mention that later. But it's gotten to the point where last weekend there was the Forza Racing Championship Big Finish Final at Le Mans, where we had the winners of that crowned alongside of the real winners of Le Mans. And for those who have been listening to the show for a while, that's kind of like, mind blown for us here at the Tour Radio Show. Mainly because you know, we talked about how we're a very niche market. We don't really have a lot of people who understand what we do or understand that sim racing is the next biggest thing in esports. But to get to that level, just for a console game, because everyone's familiar with iRacing, how they have several actual national championships where the winner of the Pirtu Cup series that they do over there on iRacing with the NASCAR stock cars, the winner of that series gets crowned alongside of the winner of the, well, now Monster Cup series. So, big, exciting things, and I'm really excited for this. Guys, what do you think about this? Are you excited about this potential as much as I am?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, actually, it's a niche market. It is getting bigger, though, which is the good part of it. And actually, from where we were at 2 years ago to where you couldn't even really get much recognition, let alone, you know, have a manufacturer actually literally broadcast that they're going to do something for you on a sim racing thing to where basically you make you virtually famous and famous in real life as well, which, I mean, Gran Turismo has been doing wonders with Nissan. But back on topic, I think it's a wonderful thing that's going on. And how mega is that, that you get to be crowned on the podium at Le Mans in front of the rest of the world, in front of the endurance racing world?
Mm-hmm.
How cool is that? So, I mean, realistically, I mean, and this is just my perspective, you got crowned as a champion on what is probably the greatest podium to stand on in the world.
Christian, your thoughts?
Yeah, you were. I do want to hit up on a point you said earlier that basically, yeah, we're not sim racing, you know, other esports players look at us like, why are you racing virtual cars? At least it's not, you know, where's the swords or like the spaceships? You know, and that's sort of like the main point. At least we're sort of fixed a little bit in reality, unlike them. But overall, I think it's good because there is huge potential for esports with sim racing. Actually, you know, it could give racing fans actually a completely new different thing, you know, to go after and you know, and cheer for favorite teams. Mm-hmm. And I think it had to take like a manufacturer like Porsche to actually, you know, put the money down and say, you know, that this is actually going to be something for the future, you know. And I think Porsche saw the opportunity at the time and they said that they had to be that manufacturer to do it.
Yeah, I'm definitely enjoying the post EA exclusive era here for Porsche.
I know, they're everywhere.
Yeah, they're freaking everywhere now. They're in iRacing. They've come to Assetto Corsa. There have been, what, 11 new cars announced for Project Cars 2. They're going to be in Forza Motorsport 7 from launch and not just some Porsche pack that they add on like 6-7 months after the game comes out. This is a huge thing that Porsche's been doing ever since they've had the freedom to do it.
Including Gran Turismo. And,
oh, yes, of course.
And luckily the game got delayed a little bit because they're going to have two Porsches, I think, two Porsches there day one when the game comes out. And it's actually going to be a first for Gran Turismo to have those cars in the game. Mm-hmm. They were planning on adding it on Gran Turismo 3, however, licensing craziness and
yeah.
It is good to see Porsche finally mm-hmm. getting their brand out there, and I think they finally realized that the more games they get the product, or you know, they could get the product into, that's better marketing overall.
Yeah, I'm definitely enjoying this. So big congratulations to Turn 10, the creators of Forza, Porsche, and all the winners there at the Forza Racing Championship for a tremendous season and a tremendous race. We'll be looking forward to more stuff like that in the future. Now, shifting gears. Yes, I'm using that pun ironically for a reason. We've talked about motorsports. Now let's talk about Horizon 3. With a new month brings us yet another DLC pack for the game that here at the TRS we all love. And I think we only have two more of these, so we'll enjoy them while we have them. However, this month is the Mountain Dew Car Pack, and we have a very wide variety of vehicles in this. So, let's start going down through the list. So, first one that we have, so 2016 Lotus 311. Now, this is, of course, the younger brother, I guess you can say, to the Lotus 211, which we've used at Tour for several different series, I believe, in the past, on motorsport games, but not really with Horizon 3. Unfortunately, I did not have time to drive all of the cars in this pack, as there's a lot of other things that we were covering throughout this week. So it's a pure track car. It's going to rip your head off with G-forces, so careful out there with that thing. Next one, 1951, the Holden FX sedan. Big old Australian
goodness
bubble of a car. It's the 50s.
I was going to say, that should remind you of what NASCAR actually started out with, with the old Moonshiners.
Yep. Well, it's a Holden, so it's going to be based off of Chevy in some retrospect. At least there was a little bit.
That looks more Buick to me.
According to what they've written in the introductory, the Holden that we're talking about was conceived as a small Chevy, but was judged to be too small for Americans' love of large vehicles.
So I guess this car actually corners.
Probably not. As you know, it's 50, so their tire, you can probably hold the tires in one of your hands because they're so thin. So I wouldn't say that. It's good to have another 50s car in there, because for a while we only really had like the Bel Air,
the old Ford Coupe, right?
The old Ford Coupe, the Plymouth Fury, and one of the unicorn cars in the Hot Wheels pack was a 53 Ford.
I don't know. Didn't we get a Hudson Hornet in there?
Oh yeah, there's a Hudson Hornet in there. I forgot about that too. So yeah. We could almost, if this car sticks around for Motorsport 7, maybe you can do like a classic Moonshiner series for Task.
Heck yeah.
I know the man that would run that.
Yep. Anyway, moving on to classic Aussie muscle to a 96 Ferrari F50 GT. Something completely different.
This is right up my alley right here.
Yep, this is one of Ferrari's many, many track munching prototype racer type things.
Well, funny enough, actually, Ben, I don't know if you know the history of the car for real world, actually.
I'm not really familiar with, well, Ferrari as a whole, not just 90s Ferrari, so go ahead and educate us, please, dear Will.
This car was supposed to race in the FIA GT Championship at the time. If anybody remembers the old Porsche GT1, Mercedes CLK, GTR, the McLaren F1, this was going to be Ferrari's contender in that, and they've only built one of these, if I'm not mistaken. So that's what this car was actually supposed to be. It wasn't just going to be a regular track day car. Mm-hmm. That was essentially Ferrari's answer, but unfortunately they never raced it, which is quite a shame because it's a gorgeous – if the virtual version of it that we've had back in, I think it was Forza 5, was anything to go by, which I'm glad this car actually made a comeback on the franchise as a whole. That sound is anything to go by, and what it handled like, oh my god, I wish it would actually race, because I think it would have been a dominant force, and it sounded amazing.
Yeah.
Just screaming V12. I mean,
yeah. Yeah. Rips your face off speed. Anyway.
Yeah, snap your neck.
Yeah. Fast Ferraris are always fun, but there are more cars we got to cover in this pack. So moving on down the list. Christian, I'll let you handle this one.
Yes, the 2013 Dodge Dart GT. And the reason Ben just switched it on over to me is because I actually own this car in real life, and I'm prepared for the jokes.
You're Duje, huh?
Yeah.
Don't touch his dart.
Yeah, nearly got stolen a couple weeks ago, but I was able to stop the perps. But,
the downside of living in Miami.
That's the downside. As we all know, the classic Dart from the olden days, I like to call it, or when Mikey was just, as our fellow Michael Johannes would say, the good old days. That car had a lot to, it was known around as, for being a really good drag racing car, and you could actually see that in the Forza Motorsport, because when you buy the car, it looks like it's ready for an NHRA event, and.
That's because it is. That's the Hemi Dart. So that was the one that was specifically made for drag racing.
Yeah. Granted, the modern day car doesn't have all the glitz and glamour of the ones from, the one from the old days. It's still a pretty good car. I personally still haven't driven the car yet in the game. I can't really compare. However, it's a good street car, and I'm one of those supporters where we need more street cars. Yeah. Like the ones we have in Forza Motorsport 4. It would be cool to see if this car stuck around for Forza Motorsport.
Didn't they rally these things?
Yes, Global Rallycross. And Pastrana actually won a race at New Hampshire. However, the program got shut down when Dodge was just going left and right, canceling all of its racing programs to the true disappointment of our fellow host here.
Yes.
And
the usual Toro radio show listener would know of my love of all things Dodge and my exasperation of when they decide that they're going to stop. They're going to stop racing.
It looked like a Russian monarchy cutting programs left and right. So, this car was in Global Rallycross and it won a race. It was doing well towards the end. They finally were able to develop it, but then Dodge decided right after the race that, this program's done, confiscated the cars from Pastrana Racing, and they will never be heard of ever again.
Yes.
Fun fact for those at home, it actually has a Fiat motor.
I'm driving an Italian car, essentially.
And motor alone.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on down the list, we get into the more amusing cars in this pack. First of all, we have the 71 Chevy Vega. Yes, I said the Chevrolet Vega, and this one's the GT model.
From 1971, nonetheless.
From 1971. Let's look at this for a second. It might have had an all-aluminum block with cast-iron heads, which would have been innovative at that time, but it only produced 110 horsepower. But what would you
expect? Yeah, we're moving on that one.
Oh, yeah. Moving rapidly into the future. The Vega gets a lot of crap because, well, it's the Vega, it's slow, but, I mean, it's like a tiny Camaro. It's very easy to hate it, but it's also very easy to love it just because of what it is.
See, here's proof right here on how confusing this car actually is. Ben has to be nice because he's on the radio show, but his mind's telling him to say everything bad about it. And it's the reason why you had mind confusion and total mental breakdown right there, just for you, listener.
Yeah. Moving on from the Vega, we have yet another hilarious edition.
We'll just carry on from there.
Yes, the 73 AMC Gremlin X. We have a Gremlin.
Talk about, actually, to be honest with you, you want to talk about cars that American drag racers love tuning? It's this thing right here.
Yeah, because the Gremlin, familiar with the Gremlin's history than the Vega, just because AMC is a Mopar thing, so I know it. But the Gremlin basically is, it's the Pacer with its, where they literally cut the frame in half and moved it in to make it just this small, compact little thing. So you can still fit large, ridiculous motors into the front of that car because you can fit a 426 Hemi into that thing. It's difficult, but it can be done.
Because why not?
I was going to say, actually, some people over here in Florida on the local drag strip around here, there's one dude that has a Chevy big block in it.
Mm-hmm.
How they got that to fit, I don't know.
I'm going to guess it involved a lot of massaging of sheet metal.
And a lot of welding, yes.
Mm-hmm. But in all seriousness, it's great to see the Gremlin back. We haven't seen it since Forza 4, I believe. So always good to have the classics back. Now, before we continue on to the next car, I do need to share a story. I did drive the Gremlin briefly in-game. When I loaded the game up, I was still in the Hot Wheels area of the game, the Hot Wheels Island. And before I left the garage, true story, before I left the garage of the Gremlin, the game asked me, this car's, and I'm paraphrasing this because I don't remember the exact quote, this car's performance may not be able to handle the extreme stunts necessary for the Horizon car pack. Are you sure you want to drive this thing? And truth be told, it didn't do that bad, honestly. I mean, it has three gears, and it tops out after you hit one of the acceleration pads at about 105.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you loop it?
I actually didn't loop it. I don't think I actually did.
Well, judging by the promo shot in this thing looks like it's about maybe 2 degrees ready from flipping over on that. Is it really top heavy?
Yeah, I would think that car kind of epitomizes the driving on door handles mantra that's typical with big old American muscle cars, even though it is so tiny. Anyway, moving on to complete ridiculous Americanness, born from the 70s oil crisis to the 1995 Mitsubishi Eclipse GSX.
Bro, do you even race?
Do you even race, bro?
Bro, they're adding everything this game. They added the Sylvia, now this.
Yes, the Eclipse is it is very much a drifter, very popular in the drifting scene, is what I mean. So it's become iconic. It was in several of the Fast and Furious movies. It's known around the world as one of Mitsubishi's best attempts at making a sports car. And then the late 2000s one happened, and we don't really talk about that one, so...
In the late 2000s one, the Eagle Talon?
It is.
I was going to say, it's literally the exact same car. They just rebadged it to Eagle to kind of make us Dan Gurney fans kind of, like, shudder.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, don't do that. And then you call it a Talon, and it's like, okay, are you describing an animal here? What's going on? I mean, it screams, yes, but not like an eagle.
Yeah. So that concludes our rundown of the Mountain Dew car pack. You can sure be able to pick it up for, what, $5.99 on Xbox Live. And I think we would recommend it just because of the sheer lunacy of everything that's in this pack.
Two lemons and a future lemon. Buy today.
I think it's worth it just for the Lotus and the Ferrari, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. So moving on to further sim racing news, we need to talk about iRacing, because iRacing did something really cool a couple weeks ago. As many of our listeners will be familiar with, Ford and Ferrari pretty much dominating the podium at the 2016 24 Hours of Le Mans. iRacing, ahead of the real life race, added both the Ford GTE and the Ferrari 488 GTE to their game. Now, from what I understand, based on all the reviews I've heard of these two cars, they're now basically the GT cars to drive on that game. What are you guys' thoughts about iRacing doing this?
iRacing actually lately is bringing it, I have to say. Obviously, after those who listened to last month's show, whenever we did the test track and we tested the 410 Sprint car, I mean, they came out with all the dirt content last month, or actually a couple months ago, and we got around to it. I mean, that actually made me want to go out and buy iRacing and actually give it a try for the first time in I don't know how long. And then this month they come out with these two cars. I mean, it's great. They're finally coming out with a lot of variety for a lot of different things. And I think what you're probably going to see, if they keep going at this trend and everything, you're going to see a lot of different series that's probably going to get close to rivaling a Forza, a Gran Turismo, a Project Cars, a Assetto Corsa, or any sim that has a lot of content in it. And it's not like, granted, they do charge for every little bit of this, but at the same time, you're getting a heck of a bang for your buck, and it's incredibly close to real life. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that, really. So, I mean, kudos to iRacing. You're doing a great job. Keep it going.
Yeah, definitely a very welcome addition to the sim racing family. Christian, what about you? What do you think about this?
I think it's about time they've updated, because before these two, they had the old Corvette GT1, the old Aston Martin GT1, which in their own right, they're cool cars. Mm-hmm. But if you're still racing them in 2017, like, you got to at least advance a little bit. So it's good that they added...
Yeah, now granted, they do have the new updated R8 GT car, the Mercedes GT car, the Z4 BMW, which we'll forgive them for just because it's a really nice body style. But no, they haven't really maximized on the kind of the GTE market, really. I don't think they have, at least.
Yeah, they haven't. And those cars you mentioned, that's in the GT3 category. But like you mentioned, like, so far in like the GT1, GT2, you know, GTLM, however you want to call it. Mm-hmm. Like, they haven't really updated it over the years. And finally, at least these two cars are out. And hopefully I want to see now, and it might even push me to buy, is like they update the prototypes now. Now they got a partnership, like we mentioned earlier. You know, Porsche is now going everywhere to a bunch of simulations, and they've also linked up with iRacing. So hopefully we can see the 919 there. And when it comes to LMP2, hopefully we could see some of the machinery that we see now in IMSA and WC in that game as well, because it does need a little bit of a refurbishing.
So that concludes our sim racing news portion of tonight's show. Do you agree with what we were talking about? Are you excited for a particular car in the Mountain Dew card pack? Let us know. #TRS. Moving on, we have a lot of different things we need to cover. E3 happened last week, and we had a lot of new trailers come out for some games that we knew were going to be coming out, some games that we didn't expect them to do what they're doing with their games. So let's start diving into this. Christian, what's the first one on your list?
First one on my list is, and it's actually going to surprise everybody here, but the first one on my list is NASCAR Heat Evolution 2. NASCAR Heat 2. They dropped the Evolution name from it. So, they had a little bit of a private meeting at E3. It wasn't public. However, information has slowly been coming out from it, and it looks like it's going to be a much more complete game, because NASCAR Evolution, I was one of the people that defended the game, just saying it's the developer's first year. You know, you got to give them time. And it seems like, you know, they've been using that time well spent, because they're going to be adding the Xfinity series and the truck series. And for our European viewers, that's sort of like an F1 game adding GP2 or GP3. And that just adds more content to the game. The career mode is now with that expanded along as well. And they're also going to be adding the tracks that the Cup series doesn't go to, and the tracks that Xfinity and trucks go to. So that's an interesting one. Hopefully we could go back to the old days of like actually having a good NASCAR game in the market.
Mm-hmm. Now, have they really talked about how they're going to be updating their physics engine with everything? Because I know there were some comments about it in the past.
I did tweet Sean Wilson, one of the game devs from 704 Games, and I asked him, you know, what are you going to do gameplay-wise? Because some people didn't like the way you had both the simulation and arcade mode, and the simulation mode, which it just, you know, the cars didn't feel right. He did say that they have worked on it. So I want to see what they exactly worked on. And at least this developer is taking the fan base seriously, unlike the previous developers, Eutechnics, who just, they didn't really care for it. They just had the license and they just tried to capitalize on having the license.
So we have to look forward to NASCAR Heat to coming up in the near future. Now, the next one that I have on my list is The Crew 2. Now, dear listener, this is a bit of a surprise for some of you, as we never really talked about the original Crew here on the Toro Radio Show, mainly because it was much more of a Need for Speed style game, where it was open world, you against the law type of thing. However, we're including it in tonight's program mainly for one reason alone. If you look real closely in one of the trailers that they released, they appear to be DTM cars.
If not, what? Very DTM-esque.
Yes, I would not picture the crew as, well, doing this type of thing, mainly because, like I said, it's much more open world focused and not as much as racing focused, if that makes sense. One of the crew's biggest marketing things is that they have you can basically drive around the entire United States if you wanted to. The map is pretty immense, but I'm kind of interested to see what they were going to be doing with these DTM cars. Christian, do you have any thoughts on this?
From what I saw in the trailers, they're going to be going they're going to go for a motorsport storyline. They're going to have plane racing, they're going to have boat racing, car racing. It's going to be very interesting to see where they go with this. It's certainly very different from, like you said, from like the first one, which is just more cops versus robbers type approach to it. Mm-hmm. But again, I would just like, you know, I always tell everybody it's a Ubisoft game. It's pending the downgrade. So just we'll just keep an eye on it. Let's see how this plays out.
Yeah. And like you said, though, it is a Ubisoft game. So it could be completely brilliant or miss the mark just a little bit.
And the trailer was just cinematic. I didn't see any gameplay at all. So yeah, we have to wait and see.
I think there's probably videos of gameplay out there on the internet somewhere. But yeah, none that I saw or actively looked for. So be on the lookout for that game. That game could be a surprise. Now, the next game on the list, which I will defer to our resident PlayStation nerd Christian here, GT Sport.
Right. Apparently, it's coming out fall of 2027. Oh, wait, sorry, that's a one. Oh, wait, it's coming out this fall. Apparently, it's over now. The wait's going to be finally lifted, and we actually get to play the game. The game has been in beta for the past 3 months or so, and there's been lots of gameplay coming out. The sounds have been updated, so it won't be a Dyson vacuum cleaner simulator anymore. And it's just, it looks good. Granted, it's not going to have 700-plus cars. It's not going to have 30-plus tracks. It's going to be just, because us in the racing community, we know Kaz. Or Kazunori, and he wants to focus on quality, and I feel this is the dark horse. Surprisingly, Gran Turismo this year, amongst all the racing games, is a dark horse. I wouldn't count this game out because you never know with Kazunori what he has up his sleeve. And keep in mind, this is the only game that has the actual FIA, distinction of having an actual championship. So, just keep an eye on it. You never know.
Remember, ladies and gentlemen, for the most subtle commentary on PlayStation News, contact Christian Gomez.
Yes.
All right. So Gran Turismo is always definitely a contender in the sim racing market. So we're going to have to really watch out for that. And I'm excited for Gran Turismo to come back into the market because, as I've said on this show before, when there's a good Gran Turismo game, then in contrast, we have to have a good Forza game to order to compete with it.
It puts everybody on notice.
It puts everyone on notice. And when Forza 5 came out, they were rushed. They didn't really get the time to polish the game, but they didn't have a Gran Turismo to measure up against. So it was fine. But as we said in this show often, we don't talk about Forza 5. We just don't.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on through all the rest of the E3 news. Of course,
surely you mean Gran Turismo or Forza 6 Prologue, right?
Yes, of course. moving on with E3, we do need, of course, talk about Project Cars 2, because while we have been covering Project Cars 2 to varying degrees of approval and disapproval, yes, I am talking about the pre-order packs. Sorry, Mad?
Uh-huh.
They reveal a lot at E3, so Lewis, what were your thoughts on that one, since you were kind of our Project Cars guy?
I mean, the first game did get a bad rap, and it did get very repetitive. From all the interviews that I've actually seen or read or anything like that on Project Cars 2 since E3, basically any issue that we had during Project Cars 1, and this is according to Andy Tudor. Now, hopefully he does live up to his word on this one. I'm scrutinizing you harshly here, Andy Tudor. He has said that every issue that we had from Project Cars 1 has been looked at and has been solved. When it comes down to controller physics, comes down to online gameplay physics, they're actually implementing a full-fledged licensing system for online play. I mean, it's physically going to show you, this is the license that you have for online, similar to what they do for iRacing, actually, and this is the type of people that you're going to race against until you can get out of that hole.
That's
sort of thing.
Kind of cool, actually.
Yeah, it is.
That's pretty cool.
I was looking at it, it's like, so basically those types of people that want to have or want to do the esports or online sim racing that take it seriously, they're going to be up there in the upper echelon in the higher tiers over time, obviously, because you got to build up to it. You're going to be up there in the higher tiers with a higher license. You want to be the type of person that parks sideways on the track and drive backwards and take everybody out. You're not going to have a very high license, and it's going to reflect on that. So, I mean, in hindsight on that, that's pretty cool. But hopefully Andy lives up to his word on what he's been saying on his interviews. Hopefully all the bugs are worked out from the get-go, not later on to where everybody's turned off from it and don't really want to touch it. Hopefully it's right from the start. Everybody gets to enjoy it right away. And obviously more details have got to come out, because so far from what I'm hearing, it's going to be better.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't had my hands on it yet, so I can't really judge, but if words are anything to go by, it's definitely going in a positive direction.
Yes.
And now I'm going to scrutinize turn 10 on this one. Slightly Mad Studios can give me Elige. Why couldn't you?
Oh,
I've been wanting that car.
No.
I have been wanting that. And here's the best part, actually. Whoa. Not only do I get one Ligier, I get two, I found out, actually, because I was looking at some of the stuff. I mean, I saw the Mike Shank racing Ligier at Long Beach during the preview, and then I happened to pause it at the right moment because I got distracted by something also in that E3 video while the LMP3 Ginettas are going on the track, and I paused it at the right moment, and just behind the leading Ginetta, there's the Ligier JS P3. Yes.
While Lewis is rubbing his hands together, talking about those cars for a second.
No, that's full-on fist pump, dude. Double fist pump right there. Straight up in the air.
One of the biggest things that we, as Toro, need to consider is, have they really talked about livery editors yet for Project Cars 2? Because that's kind of a big thing, a part of what we do, is having racers customize their cars. So have they really talked about that yet, Lewis?
They have not. So right now, I'm going to guess it's probably very similar to what they have for Project Cars 1. Mm-hmm. But hopefully, I mean, even if it's something as simple as just being able to change the number on the side of a car.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, we were in conversations with them before the release of Project Cars 1, to where they talked about potentially implementing something like that for the online gameplay, to where people can change the number to where it's customized. But I think something happened in the software or in the gaming code to where they couldn't go in there and change that sort of thing without having to rewrite a bunch of program. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they've done something even as simple as that. Because, I mean, in reality, if you could just change the number on it, because they have so many different liveries for all the cars, really. I mean,
yeah,
you can literally make a spec series out of any one of them if you wanted to, because each car, I think, essentially, except for a select few, come with 20-plus different liveries. So, I mean, you've got a great opportunity for a lot of variety there.
Yeah. So, we'll be definitely, as we continue to get closer to Project Cars 2's September release?
Yeah, September 22nd.
Yeah. We're sure to get more information as we get closer to that date. But as I've said on this show, and I'll say it again, I'm not going to pre-order it right now. I'll probably pre-order it when I'm, like, more confident in the game, just because I got burned by Project Cars 1 so much. So,
admittedly, that game did leave a bad taste in a lot of people's mouth.
Hi, I'm one of them.
Yeah. Coming off of that transition, we're going to talk about, finally, the game that most of our typical Toro Radio Show listeners have been probably expecting us to talk about next. Forza Motorsport 7. Now, it's a pretty clear indication of, as I mentioned towards the beginning of the show, Porsche's involvement with this newest iteration of the Forza franchise when they let them introduce a car to the world during the freaking E3 conference.
Yeah. Sigh.
Exactly. Silence. Just why? It was more of a Porsche commercial than the actual game reveal. Why?
Hey, I come to mind where that's a pretty cool thing that they've done. Wasn't it that they dropped the Ford GT from the ceiling last year during the middle of the E3 conference? I think that was last year. Yeah. So
no, it had to be 2 years ago when they opened up the for Forza.
Oh, wait, yeah, that would have been 2 years ago, because last year would have been Forza Horizon 3. Duh.
Yeah, Horizon 3 has the Hurricane on the, on the cover.
Again, Lop. Duh. I'm getting my franchises messed up. Anyway,
come on, Ben. You're supposed to be the host of this, and you're supposed to know what's going on.
I know, but this is the Toro Radio Show.
Notice I say that in a joke.
We talk about sim racing news. coming with the, because we do have to mention this, the Xbox One X, with all of its new power, we're going to get Forza Motorsports in 4K, in 60 FPS, only if you have the monitor to support that, but that's beyond the point. We're also going to be apparently getting 30-plus tracks, including a lot of favorites from past Forzas. I've heard Maple Valley thrown out there. I've heard Suzuka thrown out there. And we saw Mugello in the E3 trailer, so that's pretty good to have three of the classic Forza favorites back. We're going to have 700 cars, which is the most in franchise history. Now, granted, we've only seen cars that we had in former Forzas before in the trailers. I'm just going to leave it at that and continue on. We want some new Fort race cars there, turn 10. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Anyway, we're going to be getting dynamic day-to-night transitions. We're going to be getting dynamic weather. Pretty much Forza is saying, okay, you wanted all this stuff in Forza 6? Here it is, Forza 7. Now, there's a lot of people in the Xbox community who are concerned about, is their Xbox One S or just their Xbox One going to be able to handle this game? Well, this is where I believe Turn 10 and Microsoft are trying to make a point about their software. The game is coming out on October 3rd, and the Xbox One X isn't coming out until November 7th, I believe. Sounds right.
It's an early November.
It's an early November. I can't remember the exact date right now. So we're obviously going to be playing Forza Motorsport 7 for about a month on the original consoles. So to me, that brings me a lot of optimism towards this. However, the closer we're going to get to launch for this game, I'm going to be looking at my monitor thinking, I really should upgrade to 4K.
Same here.
Yeah, we're all going to be doing that. But at the same time, I mean, you got to upgrade your Xbox, which is going to be how much? Like, easily $500. And yeah, then you got to upgrade to a 4K monitor, which is what, $500?
$300, $500, something like that.
Okay, so depending on the size that you want, $300 to $500. So just to get the latest and greatest just for one game, for one console, are you really willing to spend anywhere from $850 to $1,050?
iRacing.
Okay, so you see the conundrum here. I mean, it's either spend that much money on one game just to get the ultimate picture or go to iRacing. I mean, that's how I feel about it anyway. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of other people that are probably sitting there thinking like, oh, no, that's not the point of it. The point is it's really great, you know.
4K. But it's
4K. I mean, I'm perfectly fine with 1080p on my current console. Mm-hmm. And quite clearly, the latest Forza is going to be able to be sustained on that. I don't need the latest and greatest right away because, I mean, quite frankly, I'm not willing to spend $1,000 just for one game, just to buy an all-new console for one game that I'm really going to play out of it. So, I mean, in reality, right now, I'm not saying it's bad altogether. Just right now, it does not make financial sense to do that. Mm-hmm. Maybe when 4K is more common on many other platforms, yes.
Yeah.
Right now, no.
Now, something else that we didn't mention with Forza 7, apparently it's going to support cross Xbox and PC play. So
yes, cross platform on that aspect. Yeah,
that could completely change how we do things here at Tora, just because of the new market that kind of opens this up to. Just because of the how Forza really hasn't crossed into the PC market until like Forza 6 Apex, which, you know, we really didn't talk about on this show because it really wasn't relevant to us.
Forza 7 will be available on PC. And you can do it cross-platform, so basically I can get it on PC, play all my friends that are over there on the Xbox. That's great. That's perfect.
I mean, we all saw this coming.
Yeah.
We all saw this coming. Xbox, when Phil Spencer became like the new head, you saw it slowly but surely. Like, they were starting to begin to merge Xbox and PC gaming together, and this is just a byproduct of that approach that they've been taking. And I think this is now really like the start of it, of like where that approach really starts taking its effect. And to me, it's just, you know, it's like I said, it's not surprising. However, we just, as long as you got an Xbox, and like you said, you know, but it's probably not going to be necessary to have an Xbox One X, so we'll be fine.
Yeah.
But as long as, you know, they don't, as long as Xbox doesn't start making PCs, we'll be fine.
All right. We do need to continue on the rest of the show, as we can probably talk about Forza 7 the rest of the evening. But do tell us what you guys are thinking out there. Tweet us at @TheReal_Tora, #TRS. Tell us, what are you thinking about this? So, moving right along. Of course, Dirt 4. We did talk about Dirt 4. Dirt 4 came out earlier this month, and I'm sure that all three of us are very excited to talk about it. We'll let the young one go first. Christian, your thoughts?
Oh boy, I prepared a list and everything. Let's see.
Well, condense that down, because we don't have a lot of time. We can't go over every little detail.
Yes.
But my list...
It'll be okay. Everybody else is also going to get an opinion on this.
Yes.
Right. Right. All right. So my opinion's out there four. It's a really, really good game. But it's just this is constant like feeling I have like there could just be a little bit more. And the reason I'm feeling this way is because when you saw when Dirt Rally came out, it had six environments. And in this one, there's only five. And only two previous ones from Dirt Rally have returned to this one. And it's one less environment. However, you can say that it, you know, to counteract that, and this is one of the great new features that they added in on Dirt 4 is the year stage, which you could actually create your own rally stage. And you could download ones from online, upload them to your console, and it just you essentially now have millions of stages. However, it's just knowing that there's less environments, like I wish they could at least, you know, like kept at least four of the ones they had before and add these new ones that they added, which was three. But that's one thing. And another thing is the Rallycross. They have the official World Rallycross licensing. And that's great. That's awesome. However, just five tracks, guys, Cody's, come on. Like, you got the official licensing. You could put in, you know, I could accept seven tracks or eight tracks. Just having five that just, oh, and three of them were on Dirt Rally, and they just added two more. And another just tiny little detail that they just missed out is that they didn't add in the EKS Audi, which that's sort of like making that fun game without Mercedes. Again, that doesn't, you still play the game. It doesn't ruin the overall experience. However, just those just tiny little things. And it's just, it's a good game. Don't get me wrong. Buy today, but just, they need more content because I don't think in 6 months this game is going to be relevant in a year where the market for racing games is just so condensed.
Yeah, a lot of racing games actually nowadays tend to have a short shelf life. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at Turn 10 every 2 years. Got a new cycle of the latest iteration of that game. Yeah. Fortunately, who was it that they bought out and converted it to Horizon? Was it Project Gotham?
I don't remember, honestly.
I think it was Project Gotham. To where, fortunately, they bought that. To where, basically, now every year, they got a new game coming out to keep your appetite going, mm-hmm. on something that is Forza, you know. So you alternate between the two. So I mean, unless you can make a dynamite game, which I mean, going back to what we were talking about earlier, with how a lot of people lost interest with Gran Turismo. Gran Turismo is 1 through 4. They lasted you how long? 4 or 5 years, and it was great. Yeah. And then finally, for Gran Turismo 5, they just waited too long, and then Turn 10 popped up with their Forza Motorsport game, and it was going to be the rival to Gran Turismo, and it was fantastic. And it gave you something to play in between waiting for the next Gran Turismo, and then when the next Gran Turismo comes out, okay, well, Gran Turismo isn't that great. When's the next Forza come out? Oh, next year? Okay, great. So...
yeah,
shelf life is very short on games nowadays. I will say that.
Mm-hmm. Now, granted, that discussion kind of fits with this, but considering that there was I'm not remembering how long the gap was. There was a gap between Dirt 3 and Dirt Rally, which is kind of what made Dirt Rally with its huge buildup last year. I think it was last year.
Yeah, it was last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. They started Steam Early Access in 2015, and then they released it on console in 2016, like the full release.
Yeah, so I would have much rather they stuck with Dirt Rally and focused more on that than just kind of making it the preview of what Dirt 4 was going to be.
Well, I will say this. This is kind of my review of the game. Dirt Rally was a step in the right direction. It was definitely something that was needed. It got back to the roots of, basically what the whole franchise started off with, which was Colin McRae Rally. Mm-hmm. Then it got the brand name to Dirt, which it had, the Pro Trucks. It had Hill Climb in there, had Rally. And was there something else? Yeah, Rally Cross wasn't in there just yet. So it had those three platforms, and that was a great game when it was Dirt. I mean, it had... everything. I mean, you had the full Pikes Peak hill climb. How cool is that? Never in the history of ever has that actually been fully included in any game. So, finally, Dirt Rally was a step back in the right direction, where you went right back to the rally portion of it, and then Dirt 4 comes out, and I feel this is much closer in the right direction again, back to the original Dirt game. It's where now you have a choice of Rallycross, Land Rush, which is your stadium trucks, and Rally. And I have to say, I think the best feature out of this whole game, which I have not played it online yet, so I can't really judge on that, but the career mode that they have going on this right now with being able to develop your own team and stuff like that, that they need to keep and develop. Because I think, honestly, that is the best one that they've done out of all of their games that they've done in a long time.
One man, one track, plenty of noise. Tora Test Track with Lewis Satterley.
Now it is time to let our very famous test track driver, Lewis, out on the track and with a very special car for us today.
Hello, friends, and welcome back to the Tora Test Track on the Tora Radio Show on RadioLeMans.com. And we got a special one here for you today. We were talking about Dirt 4 throughout the show, and today we're going to be on Dirt 4 for this one. Where's the location of our event? Well, we're in Hell. Hell, Norway, to be exact. Kind of funny spin on words there. You can have all sorts of fun with that. Thank you for the Norwegians on that one. But also today on this one, we're going to put a little spin on this because you can actually experience this feature yourself if you choose to go out and purchase the game. We're going to go ahead and do a Rallycross event. We're going to be driving Christofsen's Volkswagen Polo here, and we're actually going to set this up into an actual 8-lap feature Rallycross race around this event. So I hope that you're going to enjoy this particular one. And we got 8 laps to go around the circuit, and we're going to go ahead and jump right on into it. We're not going to talk too much about the specs of the car. It's just a typical 2000cc rally car that has been around for quite some time. They're fairly lightweight cars, very short wheelbase, except for the Ford Focus that races out there lately. That thing tends to be a massive, massive wheelbase car. But anyway, that's getting more into the details. So we're going to go ahead and jump right in on this one. Looks like we're going to be starting 6 on this one, and it's just going to be like you're playing the game on this one, actually, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to hear the spotter talk to me on this one, and I'm going to try and announce it all the way through to the very end while trying to drive and win this race here for you. So let's go ahead and jump behind the wheel. We're ready. We're starting right there at 6. We're ready to race. Waiting for the lights to go red. There they are. We're going to give it a revving start. And we're green, and we're going to go ahead and go blast it down the front straightaway right away. Here we are. We're pinned right in the middle. We got a brake car, and we're getting sandwiched right away. Erickson's right in front of us, and we're going to get on the inside of Erickson here. Coming out of turn 2. Just ahead of us is Solberg. Let's try the outside. Not working too well out there. Here we go. Erickson pulls alongside once again. Here we are down on the inside. We clear him now. Solberg up there. Jason Marinoff has already done his choker lap. We got 7 more laps to go here. As we're already coming up to the end of the first lap here. Let's go ahead and see what we can get going there. Dive bomb on Solberg. Nothing there going this time around. It's going to complete lap 1. Over the jump. And we're going to hit the jumper while we got clear track time right now. Solberg also hits it. Erickson right behind us now. Let's see where we come out in comparison to Smirnoff. Erickson goes through. We're going to come out in 3rd on this one, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to hold off to it. Right behind us is Bo Manis. Thrown home behind him and Smirnoff. Here we are coming down on the inside. Erickson and Solberg get side by side while we're sitting here in 3rd place. Coming up towards the end of lap number 2. We got 6 more to go of this. Going to go around the outside of Solberg. Not quite there because we're going sideways too much. Onto the pavement. Inside of Solberg now. Bit of a door bang there. Back up the hill here. We're going to go ahead over the jump. Erickson leads the way. We are 2nd. Solberg 3rd. Erickson, so you have to take the joker lap, which is right away at turn 1 there. We're about fully in 2nd place here as we're going to try and get alongside Erickson. We get sideways. There's Solberg on our inside. No, he's not going to get by us. We're going to go ahead and keep plowing on here. 100 miles an hour down to the bottom of the hill. We're right on Erickson's bumper now. Let's see if we can go ahead and try and find a way by. We don't exactly have to. Erickson's the only one that has not done a joker lap, and we're right behind him, alongside of him now. Dive bomb into the final corner, and there he tags us in the rear. We overshoot, he shoots right back by. We're going to go ahead and go across the start finish line. 5 more laps to go, about a 34-second lap here. Dive bomb into turn 1 once again there. Getting it all sorts of sideways. Erickson does another seesaw pass on us. We're wearing out his rear bumper now. Erickson, if you all remember from last year's Rallycross Championship, did a wild 5-car pass right away at the start of turn 1. We're on the inside of him once again here, side by side. Erickson still yet to take the joker lap. We're going to clear him now. Solberg's now right behind Erickson if I look behind me. Through the final corner here. We are only halfway through this race, ladies and gentlemen, and they are all over me like white on rice. Here we are, over the jump there, halfway through. Erickson still
sitting there. He has not taken a Joker yet, so he's got three more laps to go ahead and do that one. And actually, he's starting to hold up Solberg, which is kind of a good thing for us here on this one as we go ahead and blast down towards the bottom of the hill. Long right-hander through the gravel section. We go over a patch of asphalt and back onto gravel here. Two more corners left to go. Enjoy some sound here on this one, as right now we are unchallenged. Erickson is doing a good job holding off Solberg while we run away with this one. Back over the top of the hill there. There we are. Three more laps to go. Holding on to it now. As we get way wide there, Erickson, look behind me, has now taken his Joker. Here comes Solberg. He's going to start closing up on us now. He was a little bit faster than us before we got into that whole big battle of a mess. Here we are, going down to the bottom of the hill once again. Solberg is closing in on us through the delta. He's about a second and a half behind now. Let's see if we can hold on to it there. We are stronger on the second part of the circuit here. Going to come across the top of this mountain here, right over the jump, which is also the start-finish line. Solberg is now 1 second behind us, so he is closing in on us. We were stronger there earlier, now we are not. Doing a four-wheel power slide all the way through turn one. Here we are through turn two. Solberg is still getting closer. Solberg is in a DS3 while we're in a Volkswagen. Keep that in mind. I think he might have a little bit more power than us. Here we are at the bottom of the hill. Now he's still even closer, 3/4 of a second. We got a little over a lap left to go. Can we hold him off? Let's see if we can keep on trying. Probably could if I wasn't trying to talk you through this one. Through the final corner, up at the top of the hill. Solberg, I saw his nose. He's coming after me right here, ladies and gentlemen, as you can hear it. Don't know if you can hear him. You can hear the crowd cheering, that's for sure. They're getting a heck of a show on this one. Solberg now pokes the nose on the inside. He's not quite there. As he's on the inside, we got the better advantage here coming down to the bottom of the hill now. Here we are, getting it sideways there. Solberg's wearing out my rear bumper now. Just all over it. I can't even see the back end of the car if I wanted to. Here we are going through the final corner now. Here it is. Solberg's on the inside. He bangs off my car. He's not there, though. We're going to hold him off. We're going to beat Solberg across the line. And that is an event of Rallycross on Dirt 4.
That is a win.
Whew. Run out of breath with that one, ladies and gentlemen. Well, I do hope you guys enjoyed that one. I'm breaking a sweat after that one, actually. So, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Lewis Satterley on the Tour Test Track for Dirt 4 Rallycross Edition. We're on the Tour Radio Show on RadioLeMond.com. I'm out of breath on this one, actually, to be honest. That was a lot of fun. Anyways, as always, be safe, take care, be fast. Bye for now.
Thank you, Lewis. It's always fun to hear you have, well, so much fun while driving these cars.
Sorry,
pop.
All right, that concludes this episode of the Toro Radio Show. I have been Ben Williams. He has been Lewis Satterley. He has been Christian Gomez. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. It's only my second time hosting, so I think things went rather well. Good night, everyone.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production.
Tell your friends there's more at RadioLeMond.com.